AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR. The Terry Maxwell Show. He's here to remind you it isn't a spectator sport anymore. You must get into the game.
Welcome back, everybody. We're into our second hour here on a Wednesday. And, of course, we have Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. We're always excited to have him come in and talk about different things that present in a physician's office and what sort of thought process goes through the physician's mind as he's presented with certain symptoms and certain situations. And the one today is one that is actually fairly common. People do get these, and I think it's probably one of those scary things because you think in terms of, oh my goodness, I've got an armpit mass. What am I going to do? Am I going to die? But it's relatively common. I mean, it's not like everybody walking around there's a lot of people who get this.
It is quite common. It's not an uncommon thing to come into the office with, right? It's the kind of thing that, as we go through it, you will learn very quickly that rarely is there anything serious. And we'll go through those serious things, what the doctor thinks about, the whole idea about this series is having you understand what goes through the doctor's mind when he sees this.
But the patient sometimes is, these usually kind of form overnight or fairly quickly.
Well, they can be very quickly. Yeah. No, yes, it can be very quickly, all right? I'm not as bothered about something that occurs quickly, Terry. Mm-hmm. I'm bothered about the guy that's had the mass there for 3 months, or the woman comes in with 3 months of a mass and it hasn't bothered her.
Yeah.
Those are the more serious ones, okay? And we'll talk about those issues, the issues are in a little bit. But probably the first thing that the doctor is going to be concerned about is that unilateral or bilateral, all right?
Yeah, unilateral means on one side or bilateral is on both sides.
Yes, yeah. These are axillary masses. That means that you got in the armpit, you got a mass. Something's wrong there,
right,
all right?
Right.
The first thing is that it can be probably the most common issue, all right? There's one infection that we'll leave till a little bit later to talk about. But most of these in adults.
Mm-hmm.
Let's exclude kids for a bit. Kids have something else going on, very common. But under age 20, 21, let's exclude those for a minute. But adults, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Unilateral, it's either most common, they've got an abscess, or they've got enlarged nodes, or secondary, some infection is going on.
Right.
And here's the thing. It can be due to three areas. It can be a unilateral mass in the axilla. That's It can be due to an infection in the arm on that side.
You can have an infection on your finger and suddenly
we're going to talk about some of those things, all right?
Right.
Exactly. Number two, it can be due to the breast, all right? Doctors are very concerned. In fact, part of the breast exam, as a woman goes in and gets a breast exam, we feel up in the axilla in the armpit.
Right, just making sure that you don't have any little...
Well, two reasons. Number one, a little tail of the breast goes up in that area, mm-hmm. all right? Women don't often realize that, but little tail of the breast goes up in there. And number two, I need to know if you got any nodes or masses up there because it has a big
catch
deal.
Catch them
early. Yeah. And number three, the other thing that we see nodes from is you can get masses over the pectoralis muscle. That's the muscle under the breast, okay? It's mm-hmm. A guy sticks out his chest, he's not too fast, and you see these big chest muscles, that's your pectoralis muscle. If you have infections or problems there, you can get nodes in the chest. I mean, nodes in the axilla, all right?
Right.
The other things that happen, it could be a plain lipoma. These are fatty tumors.
Right.
They're benign.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah.
And you'll see what a lymphoma is. Because that's usually what she's pulling out of people.
You said lymphoma. Lipoma.
Lipoma.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, we'll talk in a bit about lymphomas because they can affect us too, all right?
Absolutely.
But these lipomas are fatty tumors, Terry. They're benign, all right?
Right.
90% of the time, they're diagnosed by palpation. They feel a certain way. A doctor knows what they feel like, all right?
Right.
We tend to, and they can occur anywhere in the body, by the way.
I've got one on my back.
Yeah, they can occur anywhere in the body. These lipomas, we tend to drag our feet, do not much with them. Mm-hmm. They usually don't bother patients. If they bother them, we can take them out. But here's the issue with these lipomas. Number one, they're related to how fat you are, all right? And if you have too much obesity on board, there's a point where that BMI comes up, and we don't know why, but it sort of triggers that we start making these things start growing, all right? And they'll shrink a little bit with weight loss, all right? Yeah. But here's the issue with these lipomas, Terry. Doctors tend to drag our feet, and I'll tell you why. This is one of those diagnoses that makes doctors look bad. Because I can take you to the OR. We do them in the office a lot, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They're a simple procedure to take. They take a little time. But here's the issue. If I don't take every little piece of that out, leave any of it there, it comes back.
Right.
They make doctors look bad, all right? And that's just the way it is kind of thing, all right? So we tend to drag our feet until it's bothering you, it's causing pain, discomfort, or what? Most of the time, it's better to leave them sit. Who cares? The patient needs reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing bad going on. Most of the time, no imaging, no biopsies required. Observation. And there's a certain feel that they have. Any doctor, after you've been out, you finished your residency, you know what a lipoma feels like. All
well,
right?
And sometimes lipoma, depending upon where it is, it's located in the body, gives someone a kind of feeling of inferiority, especially if it's relatively big. And that would be the other reason to take it off.
Yes. I look at it if it bothers you.
Yeah.
Sure. If reassurance doesn't work or there's question about it, rarely the diagnosis is not sure. That's actually quite rare. Most of the time we know.
Yeah.
I look at it. I tend to, talk to patients, talk them out of doing it. All right.
Right.
Or if it's bothering them, let's say you've got a lipoma in your bra strap and it just gets irritated. That's a different story. Let's take it out. All right. No big deal.
Well, again, depends on location.
Yeah, but these are mostly we leave them. We drag our feet. Now, one other thing in the axilla with lipomas, depending what the clinical situation is, you may have a lipoma over top of a bunch of nodes,
mm-hmm.
and you may not realize that. So there is a place for CTing that area,
right?
All right, to look at is there a bunch of
is there something? Yeah, something else going on.
Okay, and that's a clinical judgment. I want Terry. That is rare. We do that. Okay, but that's one of the things that sort of sits in the back of a doctor's mind. Is there really something else going on? I feel a lipoma, but this lady's got a mass in her chest or in her breast.
Right.
Hold her. There's something going on. We better do more imaging. The other thing is sebaceous cysts can occur. These are usually again, they're sort of like lipomas. If you take them out before they're ripe, that sounds bad. But before they're ready, if they take them out before they've abscessed, if you leave part of it in, it comes back. It's the same as lipomas. They make doctors look bad, kind of thing. Now, if they are abscessed and you incise and drain them, do it IND, that's a different story. We call it ripe, but that's probably not a very good word to say. But the top of it becomes fluctuant, it's infected, they're very painful. Those have to be opened up, drained, and packed, and they work well. All right. The other thing, probably the thing that with unilateral lesions that scares the doctor the most is this breast mass, mm-hmm. a metastatic lesion from the breast.
Right.
All right. Or not only metastatic, but it could be an abscess in the breast that has nodes that are positive, all right? Hodgkin's disease presents this way, can mm-hmm. unilateral axillary nodes. Those are kind of, you can't miss that, Terry. What I mean? You can't miss that kind of thing, all right? And cancer can present with nodes. You can have a colon cancer. By the way, it's not common. It's usually breast and things like that that metastasize to that zone. You can have any cancer can metastasize anywhere. There's certain areas it's more likely, but there's something the doctor keeps in mind. All right.
So if somebody's got a history of having cancers,
and they got a node in their
axilla,
they say, "Oh my gosh, hold her."
Yeah,
let's immediately
take a good look at it.
The doctor, first thing he's going to think of, hold her. There's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. All right? And those have to be watched closely. Mm-hmm. All right? It doesn't have to maybe I'll just say a caveat. I have patients that come in and they're afraid. Mm-hmm. All right? And they're afraid of, let's say they've got something in the breast and they're afraid of it. And they want it taken out tomorrow.
Right.
Terry, it can be done a week from now, 2 weeks. It's not going to make any difference 3 weeks from now, really. All right. It's not a panic. It needs to get out. We can't. Let's not wait for 6 weeks. That's a mistake. All right.
Right.
But the idea that it has to be done tomorrow, that makes no clinical difference, really.
You've got to design a plan on how you're going to attack whatever it is that after you make the differential diagnosis. Yeah.
Another thing that concerns doctors is you can present with advanced lymphomas sort of like Hodgkin's, non-Hodgkin's lymphomas in the axilla with masses. The other thing the doctor's going to think of is it painful?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what about if it's painful? Would that be more an infectious process going on?
Doctors like it when it hurts. Let's be very, very blunt. The patient doesn't like it, but from a doctor's point of view, if it hurts, it's good news, all right? We'll give a little bit of a caveat to that, all right? But the vast majority, it hurts the doctor. It puts the doctor at rest right away. This is nothing serious most of the time. All right? And here's why. These are mostly, if it's painful, they're abscesses, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we size them and drain them, or we needle aspirate them, all right?
Right.
Put a needle in them and suck out the pus. All right? One of those two things. Or number two, there's something called hidradenitis suppurative. But typically we call it hidradenitis. But it's more common in women.
Mm-hmm.
But make a long story short, Terry, it's actually more common than we realize, all right? But what happens is the sweat glands they don't work right. That's true. But they get plugged, kind of thing.
I was going to say their pores
get plugged for whatever reason, okay? And there's usually people who have had this, we ask them to stop using certain kinds of deodorants, things like that kind of thing. But there is no proof that I know of that deodorants make a difference. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But this typically we tell them not to do this.
Just because you don't want anything there that might be plugging it up.
Exactly. But hidradenitis, these women come in with very sore, swollen, not glands, but their masses that are abscesses are really from their little glands in the sweat glands in the axilla. All right? They're sweat glands.
Once they become
abscess.
Impacted and everything, they start
and
expanding.
They get abscesses, and they can be a pain to treat, Terry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They often take not only drainage, but antibiotics, all right? And they can take months of weeks and weeks and maybe months of treatment. They're difficult for the patient. All right.
Exactly.
They don't kill them, but they're tender. They're painful. It's
a process to get over it.
Yes. Yes. Usually these women get their, because of multiple antibiotics we've taken in long term, they end up getting, wiping out their gut biome.
A bunch of
bad stuff happens. Yeah. Let me deal with it, kind of thing.
Okay. Can we take a break here? Let's come back. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink. We're talking about armpit masses, axillary masses, and we just covered the ones that are associated with the glands more than anything else.
Yes.
And we're going to be right back here on the Terry Maxwell Show, KNZR AM 1560 and FM 97.7.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
The mamas and papas singing for the love of Ivy. That was the title track on a movie called For the Love of Ivy. You know, they had to name the song something, so they named it after the movie or the movie after the song. One of the two, we don't know. And at this point, I don't know if there's anybody left to ask. What's important is that we are sitting here with Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. We're talking a little bit about axillary masses. That's basically your armpit and the different masses. We've got somebody who wanted to ask a question. Thomas, how are you?
I'm all right. Hey, my question was women with breast implants, that's stuffed up in between their breast tissue and their pectoral muscle. Is that correct? that?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So when it gets, because it forms scar tissue around that thing.
The implant. Whatever it is. The implant, yeah.
Yeah. So what do they do, I mean, at this point in their life?
Okay, let's talk about breast implants, because we're getting ahead of it. But let's go real quickly.
Did I get off on
No. We're going to mention this later. But let's talk about it. There's two issues with breast implants, okay? First of all is that the breast implants that were done 20 years ago, they were all silicon-based, all right? And they were in plastic plastic container, all right? If that container would leak, all right? Or it would cause an autoimmune response, and they could get breast or axillary lesions from the inflammatory response. Today, the breast implants are made of saline, water and salt, the saline. And they don't have that immune response issue. So if it leaks, who cares? I mean, you get a flat breast. All right.
Just pump it back up.
Well, you can't pump them back up.
you repair it like a tire and pump it back up. That's what I would have done.
We're having a bad time here. I'm going to start laughing here. But the saline implants, all right, they don't have this immune response. Do you follow?
Right.
And today, The women nobody gets silicon implants today. They're off the market.
Well, when they started leaking, you found the silicone down in their feet, didn't you?
Well,
because that's kind of where it went.
Well, I don't know about that as much as more is that it would exude and cause more of an inflammatory reaction.
Okay, gotcha.
That's kind of what happens with these things. But today,
so how would you know?
Okay, first of all, the women will know.
Saline.
The women have been told. They know this.
Yeah.
You know, all you have to do is ask them. They know if it's silicon or saline, all right? Saline, I don't care. Silicon, totally different story. Those people can get inflammatory reactions in the breast, in the muscles, and in the nodes, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally different story. And those are the ones you have to worry about. The saline breast implants, the chance of getting in trouble, Terry, is so low.
Infinitesimally small.
Yeah, it's not zero, but it's very low.
Is it recommended now that somebody who has a silicone implant that they go ahead and replace them?
Those are difficult judgment calls, all right? I personally think that the vast majority of women who have had them have already had them out, but that's just, I don't know any studies for that. That's just
right.
My personal experience, or, yeah, I guess, you know, just my sense, I don't really know. I haven't really looked that up and seen. I looked at that statistics, but the silicon breast implants were bad actors. A large amount of women have had them out. All right.
Yeah.
Number two, there's another thing that is important about this with the silicon breast implants, and one of the reasons why most of them have come out is there was litigation involved with these breast implants.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So most.
Can I ask one quick question in between here?
Yes, sir.
If they were implanted in the middle 80s.
They're silicon, most likely. They're silicon, most likely.
Yeah.
I don't think they had saline until the late 90s.
I think you're right.
So what are those saline things encapsulated in?
But in a plastic.
Yeah,
it's like a plastic, a sealed plastic bag.
Yeah,
that's really all it is. All right.
Yep.
All right. Yes.
Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate the call. Take care.
One thing I when we were talking about painful lesions in the axilla.
Right.
One thing I didn't mention that this is not really or one of the things the doctor thinks of, and it's usually very obvious on exam, and this is quite rare. In fact, really rare. But you can get metastatic lesions in the bones around the axilla.
Oh, okay.
That will be, and they are very tender also. All right, but it's not really an axilla problem; it's a bone problem that causes the pain.
It would be in the rib or the
usually in the humerus.
Okay,
and that's the end of the the ball
sure,
socket.
Sure.
But it's usually those are very painful. Most of these patients complain of bone pain, not axillary pain, but sometimes they'll come in complaining of axillary pain.
Got it. Okay, so pain is important. What if there's a discharge? What does that mean?
The bottom line is, if there's a discharge, it usually means that it's infective.
Okay. Right?
99% of the time.
Just kind of oozing with some of the...
It usually means, you know, these patients, most of them are treated with antibiotics, all right? Mm-hmm. One of the issues where we get in trouble is they may not be, you know, it could be due to, let's say, hidradenitis, okay? This
right.
is a,
right.
The sweat glands getting plugged up. And you've got this lesion, you've got these abscesses, and then they get secondary infected, and you get a cellulitis. They need antibiotics, all right? And usually these people get a long-term antibiotics. The other thing that you have to watch with these patients is, especially if you don't respond, all right? Typically, the doctor will choose something that's fairly
broad spectrum.
No, not too broad spectrum. But the second issue is that do they really have MRSA? MRSA,
okay.
Yeah. Methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. It's really the problem. And those need special antibiotics. That's probably the best way to say it, to cover that. So that's what goes through the doctor's mind if it's not getting better. All right. Let's say I've got hidradenitis in a woman and she's got a cellulitis, and I'm not winning. I can't, you know, a week later, it's not.
There's just nothing.
It's not getting better.
Any, yeah.
And I've drained them. I've done all those things. There's two things we do. We culture them.
Right.
All right, culture them, and it may mean aspirating them and sending for culture to make sure that it's don't have methicillin resistant organism, or I'm giving them the wrong bug or a wrong antibiotic kind of thing.
Yeah. Antibiotics not hitting whatever it is that they've got.
Yeah. The other thing, let's talk about fever. Well, probably the most common cause mm-hmm. of nodes in the axilla. In a child or a kid is what? And they'll often come in with fever.
Just the lymph nodes are
infectious mononucleosis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most a kid under 20, 21, they got a fever. And they have nodes in the axilla. The doctor's going to check their spleen, check their nose otherwise, and they'll look like they have a tonsillitis or a lot of nose in the neck and that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got infectious mono. All right, and it's common in these kids. All right, it's very common. Most kids by 21 have had it, you know, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Infectious mononucleosis, and there's nothing we can do about it. They're treated symptomatically. It's a virus. There's really not a heck of a lot we can do at this point. And these kids all do well. All right, they're going to have probably 6 weeks.
Where else might they present those nodes?
All over. They'll have a splenomegaly. They have massive nodes in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They'll have.
How about back of the neck?
Can be not so much in the posterior cervical triangle.
That's where Brody got them.
In the front, they'll have a lot. All right, but it can be
sure.
In the posterior cervical triangle. But they'll often have splenomegaly, a big spleen.
Right.
Right? In fact, these kids, we tell them to avoid sports. They don't want it because you don't want blunt trauma to the abdomen with a big spleen and rupture your spleen. All right,
right.
And kill
right.
you kind of thing. But these kids all get better.
Yeah, the spleen goes back to normal size and it's not under...
They're going to have 6 weeks to 3 months of being tired and wiped out.
Yeah.
And the key for the doctor, I don't have a medicine to cure that. You know what I mean?
Oh, and for the people who are older like me, if you're wondering what mono is, we used to call it the kissing disease.
Yes, that's good. That's a good point.
Remember that one?
Yes, I
did. Yeah, called it the kissing. Oh, you got mono, who's your boyfriend?
Yeah.
You got mono, who's your girlfriend?
Now, with a fever, with a unilateral, all right, because mono is usually bilateral axillary nodes, all right?
Right.
But with unilateral nodes and a fever, for women, especially women who are lactating, mastitis.
Yeah.
99% is mastitis. You need some antibiotics. You need to clean out, let the baby suck that breast dry.
Kind of thing. Because it's...
get the stuff out,
yep,
all right?
Yep.
And the other thing is breast abscesses, all right? You don't have to be lactating. Any woman can get a breast abscess, all right?
And those are painful.
Yes, very. And they'll have they'll often get a fever.
Mm-hmm.
The breast will be hot and tender, and they'll have sore nodes with a fever in their axilla. The other thing that we watch is something called lymphangitis, and I think you know what that is. That's where the lymph nodes in the upper extremity, you'll have a lesion in your upper extremity, all right?
Right.
Tularemia is a classic. You'll get what we call a bubble, but a little blister, all right? And it's
mm-hmm.
an infection. and then they'll get a lymphangitis. And the doctor will look at the arm, and he'll see little red streaks going up the arm. The lymphatic channels are getting infected.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the doctor cannot miss that. And there's just a short, simple reason. If you think of it, that lymphangitis, that the infection is going up the lymph node, up the lymph channels. And they'll get a mass in a lymph node, all right? Those people have a high incidence, Terry, high, up in the sky, all right, of getting septic.
I was going to say, that's your big fear there is sepsis.
Yes, just high risk.
Sepsis where you have infections all over
you. Running around your bloodstream, it can kill you.
Yeah,
all right?
So those
patients are typically, when the doctor sees that, they're treated very aggressively,
mm-hmm.
very aggressively. Often they'll get IV antibiotics or a shot of broad-spectrum antibiotics and then a broad...
If somebody, let's say, has a cut on their hand or they've got something and it's been festering a little bit, and then they start feeling up in their arm.
They should see their doctor right away.
You get on some antibiotics.
Right away, yes. What is the worst ones? Probably Pasteurella multicida from cat bites and dog bites. All right?
Oh, let's talk about that next.
I don't want to go there.
but
cat bites and dog bites have an organism called Pasteurella multicida, one of the most virulent diseases known to man.
But I worked for Upjohn Pharmaceutical that made clindamycin,
which was
highly effective. As a matter of fact, it happened to my wife one time.
Highly effective.
It happened to my wife. She went to see the doctor, and while we were in there, I said, "Well, what about clindamycin?" And he's like, "Oh my God, that's right."
Yeah. No, clindamycin works wonders for
it's unbelievable drug.
Pasteurella multicida. In fact, plain penicillins will work too.
Yeah,
it's a very Pasteurella multicida is. It's one of the most virulent organisms in dogs and cats' mouths, known to man, kind of thing.
Right.
It's very virulent. I mean, these patients can blow up overnight, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's extremely sensitive. It's extremely sensitive to antibiotics.
Yep.
In fact, that's one of the reasons why all dog and cat bites, we prophylactically treat them with antibiotics.
Got it. I mean, the flora inside the mouth of a dog or a cat is
not good.
Not good. Okay, we got to take this last break. We're taking the second break of this hour. We'll be right back.
KNZR.com. KNZR on Twitter. KNZR on Facebook. And KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
Walking hand in hand with the one I love in the rain. And we're coming up on some rain. Soon. Just don't hold your breath. It is Bakersfield. If you're waiting for rain to walk, to let your loved one know how much you love them, you don't have to do it more than about four times a year, I think. Okay, that's Neil Sedaka. He, of course, was on Shindig back in the 60s. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensing about the axillary masses that are possible that can occur. And one of the ones that, and I remember my dad describing this one time. He had a patient that came in, and some other people had looked at this patient and had not figured out what exactly was wrong with them. And he sat down like he always did with his patients. You know, he wanted to have good rapport with them, and he noticed that what they were looking at was pulsating, and he immediately knew what he was looking at. What goes through your mind when you see a mass in the axilla that is pulsating?
Pulsating masses. I have never seen one. These are rare. Okay, I've never seen one. But a pulsating mass in the axilla means that you have an aneurysm of one of the blood vessels going through there, one of the arteries. These are Honestly, I've never seen one. Mm-hmm. They cannot be missed. You know, they're just disastrous if you miss them. They cannot be, you know, you can't put a needle or anything. You'll, the place will bleed out. You know, they have to be diagnosed.
Exsanguinate.
Yeah, they bleed out because they're under high pressure. Usually these walls are very thin, all right? You won't be able to stop the bleeding. You're going to go to the OR, essentially. But it cannot be missed, Terry. Mm-hmm. I have never seen one. You know, I've seen a lot of thousands.
Take them straight to a cardiovascular surgeon?
Probably.
Or a vascular surgeon.
Yeah, a vascular surgeon.
Yeah, not cardiovascular.
A vascular surgeon. But they cannot be missed. That said, they're rare as hen's teeth. I have never seen one. All right. Mm-hmm. But I don't think in general, where doctors get in trouble, and not doctors so much, but PAs, nurse practitioners, get in trouble with this. If you examine the patient, all right, you will not miss it. I mean, you got to be an idiot not to miss this, all right? But we have more and more in primary care, careful how I say this, but I'm not against nurse practitioners and PAs, don't get me wrong, but they don't have the experience, and I've seen, you know, I've heard about cases. And in fact, we were talking at lunch today about some doctors, and they didn't even examine the patient.
Right?
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that's where they miss. They miss these things. All right. They have to be examined, and once you examine them, you do a good exam. There's no question about it. You'll know what the issue is, kind of thing, and get the proper referral. So, if they're examined, there's the chance of missing is small. If it isn't examined and not palpated properly, then that can be disastrous. Okay.
Well,
they're rare, Terry. Rare. I've never seen.
I think what you're saying is for any of the patients out there, no matter who you're seeing, that
make sure to touch it.
Yeah, when they're under examination by a physician, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, that it's a hands-on process.
Yes.
And this is something that you have to guard against. Is where only by description or by the laboratory results that you're looking at that you're making diagnosis, you got to have hands on your patients.
Very important. These are rare,
right?
Terry, I've never seen one. You know, but they're rare. But the neat thing is that if for a doctor, once he palpates it, there's usually no question.
Right.
They know what's going on. They're not missed. Let's put it that way. Once they're examined, the problem is if they're missed, if they're not examined.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Okay, we got to take this last break. We are talking with Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice here on the Terry Maxwell Show, KNZR AM 1516 FM 97.7.
The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner.
I can paint a sunset across the sky.
Yeah, one of these days I have to tell the story about Roy Orbison. He died of a massive heart attack. And you remember I've talked to you about prostaglandins before? Upjohn had come out with a prostaglandin that, had he been given that prostaglandin, you know, he probably would still be alive. That prostaglandin is no longer on the market. So.
Drugs that happens to.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got an announcement to make. On the 22nd, we are doing
Terry, something new. This is preliminary announcement. It's not nailed down 100%, but it looks like it's going to happen. Something really, really neat. There's something called the Pacific Justice Institute. It's a Christian organization.
Right.
Brad Dracus. These people sue the government. They're in the process of setting up a bunch of litigation to stop to make the religious mandate
a viable option.
All right? And what we're planning on the 22nd Monday, Brad Dracus is planning to be here with us.
Here with us. And then
bottom line, after that, at another location, 1,000 people are going to show up. We're going to talk all